Well, Pedro, here's the place 20 years later. What's your view of history and where we are?
Well, I'm not going to dwell much on the museum, but of course, it's an honor for me to have, you know, received by three heads of department, besides the pleasure of coming back again to Joe. But my main concern is actually you guys there. When I came here, I came to MIT for technology, just like Karen said. MIT, Massachusetts Institute of Technology. So I came here to do artificial intelligence in 1986. And I went into the Media Lab. It was a lot of fun, a lot of exciting things. Media Lab had just had been created 3 years ago, before I came. But then it was artificial intelligence at breakfast, artificial intelligence at lunch, artificial intelligence in the evening. And as some of you kindly said, I was born in a very challenging era in Portugal. A dictatorship where my parents, liberals, said that the dictator is here forever and will stay forever. Don't get involved, you only get in trouble. And I was not a very good kid, 14 years old, so I disobeyed and I rebelled. And as a result of that, I have incorrigible optimistical view, because I've seen the generation saying it is impossible to win a revolution. And I said, no, it is possible, we have to do it. And we did it, we won. So the first thing that I'll tell is that I want to win. I'm not interested in just munching over concepts and present concepts. I don't want the world to be owned by those that exploit and explore and oppress. And I'm not gonna let them happen as long as I have a breath, at least on my part. Now, I learned from the 14 years old that science was revolutionary. As Joe kindly wrote on his message, my first publication was when I was 14. I had a wonderful professor. I opened my eyes about physics and astrophysics. I wanted to be the next Einstein when I was 15 years old. So I published a newsletter called, you know, Prisman. My first article was the atomic definition of the meter. And it was forbidden. So you see, what the heck? You know, I'm not talking about politics, I'm talking about science, and it's made illegal. It took years before I understood that the simple fact that a kid, 14 years old, was taking the initiative on its own to create a club of physics, to publish something outside of the fascist youth, that we had to be part of any activity, was revolutionary. They did not want people to think on their own and do things on their own. So, for me, when I came to MIT, I was expecting technology only. But then I started roaming around, and here come one day, I come to a DASP, and I find, gee, this is incredible. I mean, here comes oasis of social concern. I found Lisa Pitti. She was extremely provocative. She wrote in a time when political correctness say, oh, we have to make housing for the poor. And she wrote a paper saying, we need more and better slums. I said, what the hell, Lisa? Alleviate poverty, I want to eradicate it. And so she says, yeah, Pedro, but between we can eradicate poverty, there are millions of people that have to be dealt with and improve their conditions. So I suddenly start to humbly learn a lot from all these kind of different things. I went to take Bish class, and I thought, well, planning theory, fine. Then one student said, oh, planners should implement policy. Elected politicians take decisions. And then Bish said, you might not remember that. Oh, okay, so if you are ordered to implement a policy of creating a switch to gas, Jewish people, you will do it because, you know, it's your role to implement policy. I said, gee, this is what I want to be. And then I find Joe, which actually was, everyone was telling Joe is a nice man, but he was not seen as an empire builder, not a Nicholas Negroponte or something. For me, Joe was a giant. He understood that simple things to make it work had a qualitative edge and change everything. For instance, when I did my research on Umberto Modo had to do this first year paper thing that you guys met to make sure that we knew how to do a thesis. So I said, my goodness, I couldn't care less. Let me tell you a secret. I couldn't care less about urban planning. For me, city or houses was a tent on the beach. But I mean, this was the place I wanted to be. Why? Because you had anthropologists, you had sociologists, you had engineers, you had architects, you had urbanists, you had political scientists. And all say, I'm a planner. Now, that doesn't mean that they all hear to each other very well, because they are, you know, turfs. But this was an amazing, incredible opportunity. And for me, the place to study the impact of the information technology revolution was not a computer science department. They were just making, you know, like they did. It were computer engineers, not exactly MIT, that went to China and the Dragonfly project of Google to create a wall of censorship in China. Well, they paid well. You know, isn't that the role of one? We get good profit and benefit. Well, what about the implications of that? So, computer scientists are extremely well trained in computer science, and they all are very opinionated on things. But I learned that one thing is to have opinions about politics. The other thing is to study politics as a science. Science, not normative thinking. And again, that came from my background. I hated dogmas and fanatics. For me, science was a need to question things, not to raise, you know, some normative thinking. So computer science had opinions, but that didn't satisfy me. Now, political science department, wonderful. That thinks about political science. But what happened with political science? They saw computer technology as something planning support systems. Let's learn them how to make a quick thing on Excel. Let's do some nice map to improve our argument. And just as I said, one of the fun things that I learned when Joe was a teaching class was there was a National Capital Planning Commission on Washington, D.C., that when they went to regulate some constructor that wanted to build up in Washington, D.C., they were overrun by the GIS and mapping crowd that would be very, very influential on juries and judges and judgment. So they start sending the computer people on the regulation there, but the computer people did not know shit about regulation. So I start thinking, we clearly need a new breed of people to deal with this problem. And just be said very nicely, I was never into this Luddite. I don't know if you know about the Luddite movement. Luddite movement was a very interesting movement when the industrialization came by. They blamed machinery for being unemployed because, of course, the change of industrialization created a big advantage to whoever brought technology in a scale factor, and that sometimes displaced jobs to create another kind of job. So people thought that the evil were the machine, so we call that the Luddite or Luddite movement. Now, for me, remember, I want to win. I'm not here just to protest. So I said, damn it, technology creates an incredible advantage for anyone that grabs it and uses it. So we have to grab it and use it for our own agenda and not just let it be for the guys that want to, you know, just fill their pockets in and screw the humanity. Now, one could say, well, but isn't this the way it goes for technology development? You know, people have to have a profit, that's an incentive. You know, that's capitalism works, you know, socialism seems to have failed, you know, Soviet Union crumbled, China is now doing practically wild capitalism even more sometimes than the United States. So, you know, it seems like, you know, capitalism like an incentive of profit, making it's the right incentive to do things. So we have Elon Musk's, we have Zuckerberg's, we have the Google's guys and so on. Well, that's the way to do things, fine. Are we getting the world better? Well, let me, you know, show you just quickly what the institutions themselves from Bretton Woods say. The World Bank, the International Monetary Fund, what they say? They say inequality is going on and growing for decades. So we are not getting better. Let's see if I can get the slide going here, just to show you one slide or two. I don't want death by PowerPoint.
I like more conversations, but sometimes have to be shown.
I think it shows.
Now, this is OECD claiming. The socioeconomic divide has been on the rise in Europe over the past decades. Decades. Now, what does say the International Monetary Fund? They say, globalization also had a dark side. Lurking behind it was a large and growing chasm between rich and the poor, especially within countries. So, even the institutions that are kind of the godfathers of the current system we live, Bretton Woods system, were saying, gee, we're screwing up. And we've seen that. What happens when we don't have a sustainable development of inequality? You have crime, you have violence, you have wars. 20 years ago, my talk was, it's like nothing much changed in the world. My talk was this, 20 years ago. If planning in a world embattled by war and poverty, why should planners study influence the information technology revolution? Now, 20 years later, is poverty solved or on its way to improve? No. They say to themselves it's getting worse. What about war? I don't have to tell about that. Well, I came from Europe. We are now saying that forget school funding, forget university teaching, forget social programs, forget healthcare, weapons and ammunition. That's a priority for the European continent. You guys are having a challenge here too. So I don't think that the answer to the main question, like Larry so nicely put, that we start raising some questions is, first of all, is technology essential? My answer to that was done many years ago because I came from engineering. You know, technology comes, in this case, information technology comes from something that I can define planning, both from engineering or from political science side. Let's go from political science first. You know, what is planning? Planning, above all, is decision. Decidere, to cut. If you don't have the ability to decide, how can you plan? You just have opinions, suggestions. Plan seems to have some level of empowerment, some level of leverage, some level of being able to put forward something. Now, for decision, you need power. How do you get power? Well, there is economics, military, and so on, but ultimately, it all lies in the hearts and minds of the people that will allow or not an legitimate. There is actually a feminist reader that includes a sentence very interesting that says power is not so much what they have, it's what we concede to them. So, how do you get power? Informating and communicating. Now, what is technology? Technology is a way to amplify our organic limits. We only see so far, we only hear so far, we only walk so fast, we only carry so much weight. So, technology amplifies information and communication. Well, then, you get the conclusion that in order to have decision planning, you need power. In order to have power, you have a key structural role of information technology for that. Now from engineering and physics. Don't get scared, but you know, it will be useful for some people to pay attention. It's not that much. You just need to learn a little thermodynamics equation probabilities. What is information? In the 50s, brilliant guy Shannon on studying signal said, well, there's entropy. Mm-hmm. Entropy is the state of organization of the universe. And when we have little information about the universe is not organized. When we have more information, the universe is more organized. Now, what is a better organized system? Is a more predictable future. Now, what is planning about? Is to try to create a little bit predictability for the future. So that instead of us getting flood, we can plan ahead and make something that will regulate water flow. If we're gonna have probably some famine because of problems of food, then we plan ahead. So we create predictability for the future.
So how you create predictability? By creating a more ordered universe, by injecting information. Entropy is the negative of information. That is an equation. So information on political science is a social construct. But on the physics and the engineering side, it's a physical entity. You literally inject information as a physical thing, and something physical happens to the system. Now, there is a very nice corollary here, is that you can't inject information to create predictability just on an elite. You can just get a little molecules on the space and give them information, and they will just get disorganized as well. So the only way we can get this predictability is to inject information in the whole system, in the whole society. There you go. We don't need a morality or normative thinking to say we need democracy, we need participation. Otherwise, we can't have predictability in the system. So why is planning department the best suitable place? And it's a pity that is not seen there even by ourselves in the department. It's precisely because of this amazing thing that you guys have to deal from all these walks of life that are here. I don't know any other department. When I found us, I wrote home, guys, I found a oasis of soul concern at MIT. That's what I want to do. My degrees. I said, what the hell are you doing? You are from engineering, or from, you know, political revolution, so on. What are you doing? Plans? I said, oh, but this is the only frame that can look upon the impact, the structural impact of information technology, not from a technocratic point of view, not from an elitistic political science view that looks at computers as a user thing or a tool, but someone that is able to get a hold about what is technology, how should we control and guide the development, and how can we understand better the impacts in all facets of society. I don't know of any other department that can do this better. And I fear that we have a false victory. Sorry, forgive me. 20 years ago, Joe was one of the few that I found department that saw technology as an important thing for planning as an area of inquiry. Now we don't have to argue about that. Where can we find someone that doesn't believe that technology is important for planning? Nowhere. But that's a mixed blessing and mixed curse. Because this means now that we are back, even without thinking much about that, we are back at using technology as a support system. And we are back at the issue of that you guys are very active and very able to run very smart this technologies, you know, all these software and gadgets and stuff, and make them very powerful tools for planning and making these algorithms and this stuff. But what about the same questions we raised 20 years ago that we need to ask back? How are we making the world better, and isn't technology something important? Well, let me just show a little another slide. This is give you a glimpse to encourage you to come to the rest of the sessions. Monday sessions, because I'm not going to be able to provide this, and I'm not going to be the only one. Joe and many other wonderful guest speakers, and I hope that I'll have the honor to have you guys again as discussant or speakers. But let me just give you a little hint about what is going on with so-called market economy. You know, we have market economy, competition. Well, World Share in 2008. Platform Share in 2001. Oh, sorry. I have to do
it. We got to worry about time.
We have to do this little thing called technology handling and share. Yes, and we have to worry about time. Indeed. So let's just rush. Now, market share. I will just flip over these things. No time to go into it, but we'll have time during the fall. Mm-hmm. You know? Where the hell is competition? Where is free market? Now, is this something only for technology industries? Well, let's see, what are the major top 10 companies? Apple, technology. Saudi Aramco, oil, okay. That's not technology, so to speak. Microsoft, technology. Amazon, technology. Alphabet, that's Google, technology. Facebook, technology. Tencent, that's Chinese kind of Google, technology. Tesla, okay, a little bit of classic production, but
clearly technology oriented. Alibaba, that's a kind of Amazon, Chinese Amazon technology, and banking fantasy. So guys, this is not just in the world of technology of information industry. This is the whole world now. So information technology communication is structural. Now, are we going to let the economists handle this? They're not doing such a good deal. There are wonderful guys doing there, you know. Stiglitz, I love Stiglitz and so on. But they are mitigating. We need a revolution. Now, just as Lisa Pitti said, we are not going to make the revolution tomorrow. So meanwhile, we have to deal with the world and we have to do practical things. We have to know how to understand, but to understand, we have to understand the technology as its intrinsic qualities. For instance, you know, internet. You buy internet, it goes very fast internet download, but very low bandwidth upload. Why? Well, because of course, people that provide you internet also sell you content. And if you want to create your entrepreneur, like this fashionable startup entrepreneur in your microcomputer at home, which you can do, then to take something out of a client, it takes 100 times more than to actually download from a company that provides. So there goes why. The mystery of why are we having not a free market? Why do we have these monopolies? Well, this is how we plan and can explain. And I challenge any other economist or political scientist or computer science to find a theory that explains why we have the world without actual free market. You don't. If planning can help. We don't have the answers in our pockets, but we have a structure of thinking and 20 years of research to doing that. You know, and flash, you know, flash news. What is the internet-based infrastructure? Fiber optics. That's the top speed of that we know in the universe, the light. Well, light goes as fast download as upload. So why are we having asymmetrical speed? Because it is convenient, of course, for the business models. But are we in the business of doing something for the world or just in business of filling the pockets of whoever gets smart and make money? That's a choice that everyone has to have. But does has the history of saying we are here in the business of low-income communities. We are not in business of just producing the next Bill Gates. So, again, I say, this is the best department I can imagine to handle the challenges of looking about how information technology is structuring the world and how shall we use it for planning purposes and how to be able to frame this as a way of being able to contribute to change the world. And why not? A revolution will come handy maybe later on. So I'll stop here and hope that you get enough challenge to come and question these and argue and contest. Remember, I don't like fanatics, I don't like normative thinking, not even my own. So my opinions are to be challenged here. And all the guests that we have. And thank you again.
Thanks.
For the wonderful opportunity.